Tech of Sports, featuring professional ballroom dancer and former Dancing with the Stars professional, Edita Slawinska. This week on the Tech of Sports, Edita Slawinska. Netcast Studio mobile apps are a great way to receive our content for your smart devices. There's both an app for iOS and Android. And don't forget the Stitcher Radio app for all devices. Stitcher Radio, award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone and tablet. Stitcher, it's smart radio for your smartphone. And the Tech of Sports is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. The Tech of Sports is a production of Netcast Studio at netcaststudio.com. Join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific at netcaststudio.com/live, where you can join the chat room and listen to the show live. I'd like to welcome everyone tonight to a special edition of the Tech of Sports, and we have a great guest tonight, and we're going to talk about maybe a non-traditional sport, but I think it's a sport nonetheless. And we're going to talk about ballroom dancing and if ballroom dancing really is considered a sport. And we're going to ask that of our guest tonight. For years, there's been talk about making ballroom dancing even an Olympic sport. Well, while that hasn't happened as of yet, anyone who doubts the skill and athleticism of these dancers hasn't been watching what ballroom dancing has become. And dancing not only takes an unbelievable amount of training, but it's also a competition. And you need to add elements of theater and performance in as well. And we'll talk about that tonight with our guest, Edita Slawinska, from formerly of Dancing with the Stars. You may recognize her from being on 10 seasons of Dancing with the Stars, including a second place finish in season 6 with Jason Taylor. She was born in Poland and started to dance at the age of 10, became a world-class ballroom dancer. And she's partnered with her husband, Alec Matso, for 4 finals in the U.S. Championships. She was always one of the fan favorites on Dancing with the Stars and has appeared and produced in dance DVDs. And she's now preparing for a new show, Dance Temptation, which opens September 12th in Niagara Falls at the Falls View Casino. And Edita, I really appreciate you having you on tonight.
Thank you for having me. And hello to everyone.
Well, great to have you. And everyone's happy to see you again. And I guess we'll start out tonight by asking the question that I brought up in the introduction. Is ballroom dancing a sport?
Absolutely. I mean, it's definitely a cross between sport and art. But I think it's just as demanding and just as athletic as any other discipline. And I can compare it to a couple of disciplines. But on Dancing with the Stars, I was paired up with a couple of football players. And they definitely claim that ballroom dancing is just as demanding as football, obviously in a different way, but it's definitely athletic.
It is athletic, and I think there's a difference between a discipline and a sport. I think the difference where dancing comes in is it's a competition. And I mean, you know firsthand that ballroom dancers are very competitive, and I mean, it's on par with any sport when it comes to competition. And you guys are really athletes, I think. I mean, the way you train your bodies and discipline yourself and have to watch what you eat, it's similar to what an athlete has to go through, isn't it?
It is. And actually, the competition aspect, I think, made dancing throughout the years, ballroom dancing, more and more athletic, because it is because of the competition that people push themselves further. You want to spin faster than your competitor. You want to be more explosive and more agile. You want to be more fit. So it is the competition that drives it. And the way we train, I definitely would compare it to any other sport. We basically, at the top of your career, you put about 3 hours a day of just dance training. And on top of that, you do cardio, you do gym, any Pilates and yoga that helps you with stretching. So it consumes your whole life. And I guess that's what real sport is. You have to dedicate your life to achieve this level of perfection.
Yeah, and similar to maybe take for an example a football player, they have to learn the plays that happen on the field, and you guys have to learn a routine, sometimes pretty quickly, and add that in with all the other things. That's really a lot on your plate.
Well, the routines, it's in ballroom dance competition, it's a little bit different than on Dancing with the Stars. And the difference is that on the regular competition, you dance a routine that you practice for a very long time. So you have that specific choreography that you're focusing on. Now on Dancing with the Stars, you have to really, really put your brain to work because you have a routine or two or even three dances that you have to learn in a week and then perform it in front of the live audience. But nevertheless, what comes in a competition that's a little bit comparable to football is the strategy. Because on a regular dance competition, you have about 20 couples dancing on the same dance floor. So you have your own set choreography, but then you have to maneuver between all those couples and strategically place yourself on the dance floor so the judges can see you in your best possible, from your best possible angle.
Since we always talk a little technology on the show here, since we are titled The Tech of Sports, how technical do you get in preparing for a routine, either on Dancing with the Stars or a competition? Do you do video study? Do you do kinetics? Are there specific exercises you work on ahead of time, depending on what the routine's gonna involve? Is that all come into play?
We definitely do video. We either watch other dancers or other performances to see what works and what doesn't work. And we definitely rewatch our performances and tape ourselves during practice just to see what looks good or not. And particularly for on Dancing with the Stars, for people that have never done it before, they are very surprised seeing themselves dance because what it feels like, it's not necessarily what it looks like. Now, in terms of technology, we don't really do any kinetics. We basically, as I said, use video, use mirrors. it's your friend. But an interesting thing about technology, I don't know if you remember, but on Dancing with the Stars, in one of the seasons, Dancing with the Stars did a special, which was from ESPN Sports Center. We were taken to a lab and were put in a suit with all the sensors, and we were doing pieces of our choreography, and it was measured how fast we turn and with what velocity and what power we jump or do lifts. And supposedly what we do is pretty much comparable to any other sports. I think we were compared to some of the basketball players, football players. So that was very interesting. I was actually part of it. So it was very exciting.
I don't doubt that for at all. I mean, similar movements to basketball, similar maybe even to like a tennis, movements that I can see that, no problem. You mentioned working with a celebrity on Dancing with the Stars, maybe a celebrity that's had little or no dance experience at all. Where do you start with them? Do you really just start with the basics and then build on that? Or do you throw them into the fire with maybe something difficult right away and see how they react and can handle that? Or does it just depend on the partner you have?
I guess it really depends on the partner. But if you really have someone who had no experience at all, you need to start with the basics and you need to introduce them to the general field of dancing and see what kind of basically gauge what they are good at and what they are not so good at. So you can then come up with a choreography that is going to show them in the best possible light. So you start with a little bit of everything to kind of figure it out. And you have very short time to do that. So it's kind of a fast process. And immediately afterwards, you need to be very smart about coming up with a routine. I think it's a key to come up with something that's going to be easy for a newcomer to learn and yet effective for the audience and entertaining. But I guess basics are the best to start with, definitely.
Yeah, I think the pros that did the best on the show were the ones that probably did the best choreography. And I would put you into that category with a Derek and Mark and Julianne when she was on there. Consistently the best choreography and really played up to the strengths of the particular partner they had. You were right in that in that group with even Cheryl, put Cheryl in there as well. And do you think that that's one of the, I guess one of the talents you have is maybe you can get the most out of the particular partners you had. You kind of looked at what you had. Some seasons you didn't have a lot to work with. I mean, you probably won't say that, but I'll say it. And is that, did you have to find what strengths your partner had and then play on that?
Definitely. So I would say maybe my strength is that I can come up with a choreography that's maybe not the best, but the best for that particular person. Because obviously we are limited. If I could dance with a pro, which sometimes we have an opportunity to do on the show and the result shows, we can come up with anything we want. And it's a lot of fun. Dancing with celebrities is a challenge. But I think my strength also is maybe being patient. It helps, and kind of putting people in kind of psychologically in comfort so they can reach the 100% of potential. If you push someone too hard or not enough, that's that can be an issue. And we are always under pressure on Dancing with the Stars because of the time constraint. Yep. So it's difficult juggling those things.
And when all else fails, just find an outfit that is, you know, not, there's not much clothing there, not much material there, and your marks seem to go up, you know, especially maybe from Len.
Definitely, costumes are part of my strategy. The less, the more destructive people are from dancing.
Bruno, you never know which way he's going to go, but, you know, Len appreciated those, and I think Tom liked it when you wore some of those outfits too, so... Were you an athlete when you were younger? Did you play sports? And are you going to follow the Olympics that are coming up?
I am definitely, to answer the last part of your question, I'm definitely going to follow Olympics. First of all, I'm going to be rooting for Natalie Coughlin, who a swimmer who is dancing with my husband, Alec. She's absolutely amazing. I call her a superwoman. And actually... maybe swimming is one of those disciplines that I am absolutely, it's an incredible sport that requires an incredible strength. And Natalie, obviously she was, when she started to dance with my husband, she was at the top of her game. She just finished competing and she was so, so amazing. Her body was in such an amazing shape. I think during dance training, she was hardly sweating because she was used to so much physical. Her stamina was just so great. But what else am I going to watch? I'm going to watch horseback riding, and I just took it up recently. So now I can look at it and actually look for certain things that I've been taught and that look very easy but are not so easy. So I'm going to watch that. And was I athletic when I was young? That was the first part of your question. To be honest with you, I started to dance so young that I didn't really have a chance to get into other sports. I simply didn't have time. Dancing, if you want to do it on a professional level, just takes so much of your life. And obviously I was going to school as well. So I am not very good in team sport, I admit. Although partnership and dancing is a team, but it's a very small team. I can deal with that. I was definitely very agile. I loved climbing trees and jumping, and I was very active in general. I'm a very decent runner, but as I said, I never just had a chance to actually get into other sports.
You think gymnastics maybe would have been a sport maybe that you could have excelled in?
You know, gymnastics definitely is something that could get your body ready for dancing. That's why gymnasts are great dancers. We had Shawn Johnson on Dancing with the Stars. Pretty much any type of training that you get that requires flexibility helps with dancing. Now, the problem with gymnastics is that as a gymnast, your career is so short. I mean, as a dancer, your career is already short. But I know gymnasts that have retired when they were 17 and 18. That's quite crazy. So I think my parents preferred for me to start dancing. And I loved it so much that I didn't have to look for anything else.
Are you kind of amazed by, and maybe taking the athletes out of the equation because they're already kind of, their bodies are in shape to do it, but are you amazed by how some of the celebrities improve over the course of the show and how good they get at the end of the show?
I am. I must say that there has been a lot of surprises on the show, and there were some of the people that excelled tremendously. And I think that people have to understand that this is not a regular course in dance training. I mean, here, first of all, you dance with a professional who helps you, guides you, and kind of excels also your progress, because your level suddenly have to match that pro level. And then another thing is that people on the show, as the seasons were going on, wanted to be better than people in the season before. So they started to train more and more. I remember in the first season, maybe we would do 2-3 hours a day. And in season 8, 9, 10, people start to train up to 8 hours a day. And basically, if you do that for a month or two, you are going to improve. And obviously, you know, some celebrities just discover this passion for dancing. Which...
Sure. Well, I'll give you a break here for a second and grab a sip of water while I do the Amazon ad. And just want to let everyone know, if they're doing any shopping in the near future, during the Olympics or after, a lot of great things available on Amazon. They can use the affiliate link here at the studio, netcaststudio.com/Amazon, for any of the shopping needs. And there's no extra cost to you, and you help support Netcast Studio. And I always give a pick at of something they can buy off of Amazon with that link. And there's no better couple products to mention than your DVDs that are for sale on Amazon, and Dancing Like the Pros and Fitness with the Pros. I mean, I guess you cover all the bases, toning and shaping and burning fat, while you kind of teach them dance along with it and some routines. And I think the Dancing with the Pros DVD actually teaches or gives people the basics of the rumba, cha-cha, and the jive and the samba as well. And how much fun was it doing those videos, and what kind of response did you get from those?
It was a lot of fun, but it was also a lot of work. We were shooting everything within a couple of days. And while shooting it, I actually lost, I think, 5 pounds. So I think it works. But I think dancing has this special quality that you exercise and you don't really feel like exercise, because you're thinking about your steps, your routine, about your partner. So it's a great way it's a great activity for people that don't really, feel like going to the gym and doing cardio. And it's also great for activating all your muscles, which I hear it all the time from celebrities, that when they started to dance, they started to use muscles that they never even new exist in their body.
Sure.
So I think it's a good way to target all different areas of the body. We had a lot of fun, got a very good response from people. Fitness with the Pros is more kind of a fun, they are fun routines on three levels: beginners, intermediate, and advanced. The steps are not very difficult. They are designed for you to work out. So we wanted to make it simple enough that you don't have to think about steps, that you can learn them quickly. And basically advanced level, the steps are not that much more difficult, but the intensity of the workout increases. Now, Dancing with the Pros, it's basically instruction. So if you never dance and want to learn some of the steps that you see on Dancing with the Stars in the routines that celebrities do with us, then, you know, it's a good way to start in your living room.
Yeah, and one other great thing about dancing, it's very rare to see someone dancing that isn't smiling and having a good time. And you can even look back on the show, you can look back at Steve Wozniak and what he was doing on the show with Karina. I don't know if you call that dancing or much of dancing, but it looked like he was having a great time doing it, and it made people smile. And that's, you know, part one of the great things about the show, isn't it?
Definitely. He had a blast and he wasn't hiding it for sure. I think there's something about moving to the music and dancing with another person, because that's what I think is special about ballroom dancing in particular, that you actually have shared that experience with another person. Yeah, I think it's just a lot of fun. Of course, I treat it as work, but I must tell you that in the end of the day, when you go out there and perform, you have to have fun. Otherwise, people who watch you are not going to have fun.
Sure. And you're going to be having some fun coming up starting in September with Alec, and you're going to be starting a new show out in Niagara Falls. It's going to run. And tell us a little about that, and how excited are you about that?
The show is called Dance Temptation, and it's going to be in Falls View Casino from September 13th through 23rd. And we have performed with that show last year, and it was very, very stressful to premiere because it was the first theater production we've done, we did with my husband. So the premiere was excruciatingly stressful. But I must say, we got great reaction from the people. We got standing ovation every single night, which was extremely rewarding. So now we are coming back with the same show. The cast is slightly different, but I would say even better. We have world-class dancers and American Idol singers. We have Lakeisha Jones from, I think she was on season 4 of American Idol. And we just have this amazing talent. And the show is a variety show. It's mostly dancing, but also singing. There's a storyline. So it's a, I would say, Broadway type of show. But it definitely focuses on dancing and majorly ballroom dancing. So we are very excited about doing it again. And as I said, we are extremely lucky to work with some of the most amazing dancers in the industry. We have ballroom world champions, Canadian tandem champions. We have a young dancer that won Canadian Dancing So You Think You Can Dance. So I think it's going to be a great show.
What do you think about the show, So You Think You Can Dance? Is that show good, do you think? Do you enjoy it? Do you watch that? Or is it, are some of those dance, some of the disciplines and some of the dances they do, they're kind of way out there on there. Is that enjoyable for you to watch?
It is, definitely. I think the show is catered more towards young audience. It's definitely more edgy, and there's a lot of kind of experimental stuff going on there. And you have hip hop dancers paired up with ballet dancers, and they have to come up with some routines. But I think the show showcases amazing talent, and that's the bottom line. I don't know how successful it is in terms of ratings right now. Maybe people just had enough of it. But for me as a dancer, it's always great to watch amazing talent, and every once in a while you can find a real diamond on So You Think You Can Dance. So, you know, on Dancing with the Stars, you have new celebrities, but you have pretty much set a group of professional dancers. So you either like them or you don't like them. On So You Think You Can Dance, every season you start to watch it, and you might hope that, you know, there's going to be someone really, really amazing that's just going to knock you off your feet with the talent and dancing.
Yeah, there's a couple really good ballroom dancers on this season. I don't know if you've watched. And usually they've kind of shunned the ballroom dancers in the past. But I don't know if they're still both on or not, but they made the cut, the two of them, and they were really good. And it was kind of fun to watch. And they're young girls, and it was kind of fun to watch them against the people that were doing hip hop and other disciplines. And I think they held their own pretty well.
Well, to be honest with you, I have not seen it. I'm a little bit busy with the gearing up for our show. But I must tell you that the advantage that ballroom dancers have is that they know how to dance with another person. And very often hip hop dancers or contemporary dancers, don't know how to deal with that. They are very good solo, but it's a very, very different thing to actually dance with another person.
Absolutely. And you kind of touched on it before, working with professional athletes, as you did with Evander Holyfield and Jason Taylor, and athletes tend to do really well on the show. They've won the last couple seasons, and do they really have an edge over the soap opera actor or the singer because they're used to using their body to make a living?
Well, I guess they do. And I think it's the inner discipline that they have to push themselves further than anyone else. And also, once you get to a certain point in the show, it gets physically very hard, because when you reach halfway point, your body gets very tired. You cannot afford any days off, because you tape the show on Monday, you have a result show on Tuesday, and then you have only 5 days to learn one or two dances. So from the moment you start training, you have not had a day off. You work every day up to 8 hours a day. And athletes at this point have this advantage of having amazing stamina. And I guess that really, really works. So what about actors and soap stars? Well, they, from the other hand, can probably perform better.
Sure.
So they have that. And if they can stand the competition physically, some of them do really well. But I think athletes have that good combination of stamina, of discipline, and, a lot of them are showmen. I mean,
sure.
A lot of them, they are very popular and they know how to work the camera. So they are doing good.
Yeah, you can't teach stamina, no matter how hard you try, and they have that. Give a few tips and advice for maybe young kids getting into ballroom dance or dance in general, and tips for both boys and girls, because you guys need need more young boys to get into the sport, don't you?
There's always problem with boys. Well, I hope that participation of people like Jerry Rice and Evander Holyfield and some of the other amazing athletes, Emmett Smith in the show, has encouraged boys to join dancing. But it's definitely difficult. But here's my word of encouragement. There is no better way to hang out with attractive girls than on the dance floor. And quite frankly, I think this is why my husband started to dance.
Oh, it's coming out.
It is. And I think, it worked out for him. But I actually think that dancing is great for kids. And our background with my husband is that we worked we owned a dance studio for kids in San Francisco. So what I can say, it teaches kids a couple of skills. First of all, communication. It's a very, very, very social sport or discipline. It teaches you how to not only work things out with your partner, but receive information and kind of translate it in your body. Obviously, it's great coordination tool. Apart from that, anything you do, after school, so that's not only dancing, obviously teaches you time management and helps you develop in general. So, and dancing is great because it combines that social aspect. So, a lot of our students, which we are very proud of, maybe did not become world champions, but 90% of them went to college and they are great in what they are doing. And probably because they have this discipline and kind of people skill that they learned during the dancing years.
And then when they get to the level where they start competing, like an athlete, they learn about winning and losing and what it takes to win and dealing with judges. With you guys, it's kind of subjective. I mean, you have judges that determine the outcome, Where in sports, yeah, they have referees, but it, you know, someone hits a home run in baseball, they win the game. It's not a judge telling them, you know, what score they have. So, I mean, I think it teaches a lot of lessons for kids, doesn't it?
Definitely. Dancing is very subjective. And by the way, this is why I think it's probably not good fit for Olympics, because if you would like to judge us objectively, you would have to make certain rules, and those rules will limit dancing and make it not what it is right now, which, however you want to look at it, it is art and it's expression. But definitely dancing and competing, it's a great way of learning, you know, what it takes to lose, what it takes to win, and how it feels to lose, and what do you need to do to get better results. And that basically hard work is what gets you there.
Yeah, great point about the Olympics. And Olympics, they already have sports where the judges get involved, like figure skating and diving. And I don't really know if we need another sport where the judges kind of control the action. But it would be fun to watch the best dancers from all the countries going up against each other in a competition like that. That would be fun to watch. Wrapping up with the last couple of questions, you can't talk about dancing, especially with you, without talking about maybe the art of picking a costume or an outfit to wear. And, you know, how much thought goes into that, and how much time goes into that, maybe on the show, or maybe, you know, in general competition. And what about the dreaded threat of a wardrobe malfunction? Is that always in the back of your head?
Well, here's the thing. We are very, very careful about that, because you don't want to actually go out on the dance floor and think about, you know, a strap popping out or something showing. So what we do, once you have your dress made, you actually rehearse in it, and you do every single move in the dress, in the studio, rehearsal space. So when you go out and perform, nothing, you know, there's very little chance that something will happen. The same on Dancing with the Stars, we actually have a full-on dress rehearsal about 2 hours before the live show. So if there is wardrobe malfunction, it's going to happen on the dress rehearsal. And it did, trust me.
Oh, some more behind the scenes. That's funny. But, you know, you, I guess the outfits you have on, when you just put a couple little rags over you or whatever, there wasn't much that could happen to that, I guess, huh?
But you have to have a very elaborate system of support. Sometimes not visible to an eye, to keep it all together. But costumes is just a fun, girly, you know, part of dancing. We love it. I actually, I was designing all my costumes in Dancing with the Stars, and I designed costumes for my show, Last Temptation, the theater production. It's a lot of fun, and costumes are tricky because they are very important for not only the way you look, but also the way you dance. They can make you look good or bad, and they are supposed to help you with the movement. So if you are smart enough, you can actually come up with a dress that can make your dancing look a lot better. So, you know, and obviously everyone has a different type of body, so you need to factor that in. So it's a tricky thing. It's really something that you actually have to put a lot of thought in. It's, you know, in the end of the day, a lot of people, particularly the TV show audience, they don't know much about dancing, and they can be very easily turned off by bad costume.
I ask all my my guests here as we wrap up kind of a technology question, what is the one piece of modern technology that you own that you just couldn't envision yourself living without?
Oh my goodness. I'm going to be not very original, because it's definitely iPhone.
That's what most people say.
That's something that became part of our life, that, you know, we went to a vacation with my husband right after he graduated. We had to get away for a week. We went to Fiji, where you literally have no contact with the outside world, and the internet either doesn't work or works very, very slowly. The phones are not working there. So for a week, you know, it took us a couple of days to kind of get used to not having that device in your hand and having to check what's going on in the world and with the people that you know. So I think for someone who lives a fast-paced life, having an iPhone, it's definitely a very, very useful thing. And I can't think of anything else. I'm not that attached to technology.
Well, the iPhone is what a lot of people say, and it's almost a part of your body now. You know, the people can't leave home without it and can't go anywhere without it. You wear it, you know, you wear shoes. You almost have to have your iPhone or your Android phone with you. So we get that answer a lot, and it's been great having you on. And tell people how they can follow you on Twitter or on social media and your website, and then just mention mention the show that starts in September again for the audience.
All right, so the show is called Dance Temptation, and it's going to be in Niagara Falls in Fallsview Casino, September 13th through 23rd. You can come, you can check out our website at dancetemptation.com. Also, it would be great if you could like our Facebook page at facebook.com/dancingpros, which is the name of our company. And then on Twitter, I'm just editor_Slavinska. So that's pretty easy.
Yeah, if they can spell your last name, it's pretty easy.
Right.
Yeah, follow Edita on Twitter, and she does a great job on there with sometimes little bits about her life or little bits about dancing. And I wanted to ask one question for my mom, who's a big Max fan from Dancing with the Stars. Is he really a nice guy or is he a jerk?
Oh my goodness, you're putting me in an uncomfortable situation.
Oh no.
No, he's, you know what, I'll tell you this. Whatever you see on TV, that's what Max is. So if you like what you see, then basically he's not good in hiding anything. So his true personality kind of comes out in front of camera.
He's very intense on the show. Would that be a good word used to describe him?
I think so. He's intense. He's definitely a little bit arrogant. He is a nice guy. He's just very particular. So you either like it or you don't.
A lot of people are fans of his, and a lot of people were fans of yours on the show, and they miss you. Maybe someday you'll be back. Maybe not. But you have other projects where people can see you, and that's a good thing. And maybe Dance Temptation will go on tour to other cities at some point. Is that a thought maybe down the road?
Definitely is a thought. It's something that we're planning. It depends which way our career will develop. We are also out developing some of a couple of TV productions. So, you know, we'll see. But please stay tuned and follow what I'm doing in months to come.
We're definitely staying tuned, watching every move and all the outfits you'll be wearing, really appreciate you coming on, Edita.
Thanks for having me.
Just want to let everyone know that Netcast Studio has many other shows that may be of interest to you, and you can always head over to netcaststudio.com and check out all the shows that are available. And I want to thank Edita and thank everyone for listening into the Tech of Sports, and you've been listening to the Tech of Sports, a Netcast Studio production.